Well, praise the Lord. As Paul would say, it's not a burden to remind all of us all of the things that go into what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. So much went on during that fateful night with Jesus Christ. And actually, I don't think I would even have time to discuss all of it. So we want to focus our minds on just part of it here. But we've all been to some kind of a funeral or memorial service. And it's a gathering, especially a memorial service. It's usually a gathering of family, close friends. And you remember, you talk about, and you think of the person who had just passed. And it usually is a very solemn event. Sometimes there are stories that are told that will make you chuckle, will make you laugh, and a little more lighthearted. And those are good. Those are good times to remember. But what's unusual about this event, this is much like a memorial. It has all the same elements. There's close friends, there's family, so to speak, the disciples. They've been together now for 3 years, maybe a little more. And so they're very close. They've gone everywhere pretty much together, and they've gone out and did wonderful, wonderful things. And so when they're gathering for this final Passover, it strikes me that as often as Jesus told them what was going to happen, it's like it didn't click. You know, it didn't click. They probably knew something major was up because they couldn't quite figure it out. Because in one of the discussions, it might have been Thomas or one of them, who said, "Lord, where are you going? And how can we know the way?" And of course, he said those famous words, "I am the way and the life and the truth." And the thing is, they didn't have a full understanding until after all of these things were over. Now, once it was over and Jesus had risen again, then they were able to go back in their memory and they realized how important all of these elements, these events, were. But what's also strange about this memorial was the fact that Jesus himself conducted the service. And Jesus conducted his own memorial. Now, that's kind of unusual in itself, but that's basically what's going on here. So now Jesus is getting ready to have a very solemn discussion with his disciples. And this is something that's recorded pretty much in all the Gospels, maybe a little different wording, but it's the same event. So Jesus is getting ready to partake of the Passover. You know the Passover. The Passover was celebrated when they were on their way to come out of Egypt. They were being oppressed. And you know, that's kind of the way life is. We're oppressed so much by Satan and all of the evil forces that are out here. We're almost under constant oppression. And he's constantly fighting to get at your soul. He wants to take you with him. But the thing is, Jesus is having an event that basically looks back at when the Hebrew children were in bondage. They were being oppressed. And then there was that fateful night to where it was called the Passover. They had to eat a lamb and they had to eat specific foods that they had. And that was the night that they exited from out of Egypt and they were finally free. So now we come down to where Jesus' time was, and they're celebrating this event. And I guess what the probably the most important part of the event was the fact that Jesus himself was going to be that Passover lamb. He was going to do what was necessary to give freedom to each and every one of us. And that's the thing we can really look forward to, is the fact that we have freedom. And we got, you know, we have freedom from sin, freedom from the grave, and all of this oppression that tries to land upon us. We know that it's not going to last much longer. We know that. But the fact is, Jesus is having a solemn event, And this is pretty much how the discussion went, based from Luke chapter 22. And we're going to begin from 14, and we're going to, I think, read all the way up to 20. Just six verses, but six so powerful verses here. And so it says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him." You may recall in Scripture, there were several times when Jesus would say, "My hour has not come." In other words, it's not time yet. It's not time for me to basically accomplish the mission that he was here to accomplish. But we knew by all the things he taught, not only the disciples, but us through the Word, he taught them that there was that the events were coming to a point to where they were going to have to make a decision. And everybody, of course, will have to make this decision. But now the hour had come. This was the time that Jesus came and intervened in the our time and our space. He came at the right time, and now it has come up to where it was time for him to finally fulfill his mission. And so that's one thing that's striking to me. But then verse 15, it goes, "And he said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I don't know what would go through your mind if you knew that within, 24 hours or so, maybe a little longer, that you would not be alive, that you were going to go through a horrible, horrible beating and even a crucifixion. He knew that he was going to be lifted up, meaning he was going to be lifted up off the ground. Okay, he knew this coming because he said his hour was here and it had already come. And so he says, "With desire I have desired." In other words, he strongly was looking forward to and eager to have this last meal with them. Partly, I believe, because he had so much he wanted to say. He had so much he wanted to tell them and impart to them. But I'm not so sure they had the faith at that moment to receive everything he had to say. But with good disciples, they listened intently. And went on in verse 16, he says this, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Now, you're going to hear another statement in a little bit, but what's interesting to this is he's not going to partake in this kind of meal until later, sometime in the future. So this tells us this is the Last Supper. This is the last time that he's actually going to have this solemn event, this celebration of the Passover lamb with his disciples, and he's not going to eat it anymore until it gets fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And I believe what that's telling us also is hey, I want to lose a few pounds here, but I know I'm going to get to eat when I get there. At least that's what I think this is telling us. He's going to eat with us, especially at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And oh my, I'm looking so forward to that. And again, that's our hope. But now we get into the real solemn parts. So in the Passover, they actually had certain elements that they had to eat during the Passover meal. Okay? And it was this Passover meal that later, because of these events, that we call it now communion. And you'll see why in just a little bit. But in verse 17, it says, "And he took the cup," which, by the way, was always present at this type of meal. So he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." Very similar to what we're going to do here in a little bit. We have the fruit of the vine, which has been crushed through pressure. That's how you get this kind of juice and wine. is that the fruit actually had to be compressed and crushed. Basically, it's a violent act. And as much as we may enjoy it, it goes through a violent process to be made. And so we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take it, and basically we're going to divide it among ourselves, because we're going to repeat this process. But it's such a solemn event with his disciples. He's alone with his disciples, and he's passing the cup around for them to partake. But he lets them know, in verse 18, he says, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." So we know that he's waiting. Oh my, folks, think about that. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us so that we can partake of this in his presence, finally. And he, thank God, he's patient enough to where he's going to just back off and wait for you. And then he's going to have that great event to where he's going to share the fruit of the vine with all of us, with all of us. And in verse 19, he repeats this process with the bread. And he took the bread, and by the way, this was unleavened bread. Some people don't think it tastes well at all. I'm like one of those who I kind of like it, actually. But it said, and he took the bread and he gave thanks. Again, he's thanking for his food. He's given thanks for his food. He broke it and he gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." And then these famous words, "This do in remembrance of me." I don't know how many of you can see from where you're sitting, but right on the front of this table where our elements are gathered, it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." So tonight we're actually going to fulfill this portion of Scripture, because it's important that we remember these events. And then here he says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So not only did he take the element of the bread, and that represents his body. His body was going to be horribly violated in the sense that he's going to die now. And so he's reminding everybody that if you take these elements, this is going to be the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I have to remind everybody, I don't know that there's anyone here, but we know that this is a symbol that Jesus instituted that we are given to follow. And so a couple of things come to mind that I want to make sure everyone understands. This is the juice that we've got right here in front. It's actually a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not the actual blood. There's some who believe that it does. It is, after it's blessed. But it's a symbol. And also the bread that we have in this other container, it too is a symbol. It's not the actual body of Jesus Christ. But the important thing to note is that the reason we take this is to what? Remember. Remember. And there's another scripture where it says, "For you do show forth all of that until he comes." His death. You shew forth his death until he comes. So he's not here yet, but thank God he's coming. And we're going to remember what he did for us. What he did for us. So what I want to do now is come down and we're going to bless the elements. After I do that, I'm going to offer Glenn the communion, and then I'll give instructions here in just a few minutes. Oh Lord, our God, I'm so grateful, Lord, for this symbol that represents the body of Jesus Christ, for he was broken for me. And Lord, I thank you for the fruit of the vine that I am about to partake, for I know it went through a violent process to become the drink that I have in my hand. And Lord, I know it represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me. And now, O Lord, as we continue the communion process, bless every heart and soul here tonight. Help us to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves, Lord, and if there be any sin within us, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, for we are a poor and needy people. And so, God, I ask you that you will bless each and every person here, and may their hearts forever be warmed by the remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he did for us, and the fact that he lives now and forevermore until we finally meet again in that kingdom of God. So God, have your way in this service. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.